This is Pam White, and I'm doing the Faith Arise, Our Calling as a Mother. And just wanted to ask, like, first of all, just how many of you have, like, five and under? Any five and under kids? Okay. Anybody, like, elementary school? Okay.
Yeah.
And let's see, teenagers? Anybody have teenagers? Three, four of you have teenagers. Okay. And then adults. And then, four of you have adults. Okay. Okay. So I hope you all get something out of it, because it really is not, I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your kids, because I struggled myself in, you know, raising them as far as I've gotten them. But I really felt like the Lord kind of laid things on my heart as they've been growing, and especially I think early on in my pregnancy, I had my first set were triplets, so I hadn't had any other kids. I had been trying to get pregnant. I had polycystic ovaries. It's something probably about 50% of the ladies that have infertility have that type of condition. And I thought, well, you know, we kept praying about it, and we didn't feel led to adopt. And I was going to ask if anybody adopted any children. Has anybody ever? Okay. So we, you know, prayed about it, and we're like, well, we just keep, you know, pressing in. And the Lord led us to a different church at the time, and it really was a covering for us. You know, I just know the Lord, like, led us to this church because they were going to be a covering. We had three elders, ladies, women, pray over us, and my husband said, since we got pregnant with triplets, we probably should have only asked one of the ladies to pray over us instead of three of them. Since obviously, all three of them had power over, you know, how we, that we would have three all at once. So, come on in. So I'm Pam White. I go to Crossroads Valley Chapel, Jonathan Schweitzer and Carol Schweitzer, who are in Israel right now. I've been part of the church since almost from the beginning, about a year into they were meeting in their home. So about 10 years we've been a part of the church there, and that was the connection came through our church that we were there for about a year and a half, 2 years before the Lord really led us to leave and move out of the area. And our pastor gave Thurlow Schweitzer our phone number and said, I think you should have their number. They moved out to Frederick, and the Lord just led for us to then start to become a part of it. So, I have triplets. They're two girls and a boy. They're 12 years old, almost 13, so they're just about to enter into teenage years. And then the Lord led for us, just kind of said, there's something special going to happen. And we had no clue. I should have known, because I was at my pastor's wife's baby shower at the time. And I really felt this, you know, Lord's going to give something to us in the next year. And it was another child. And so it was completely out of blue. I probably had like three cycles in the last 10 years. So for it to suddenly be like, huh? How in the world are we pregnant? Again, because my husband's like, there's no way you're pregnant. And I was like, no, I don't think so. There's no, it's just my hormones are acting up and something. And I took a pregnancy test and I was like, yeah, I am. I'm pregnant. So I have another little girl that's two. Just really what I would like to just share is like probably about eight things that I really felt like the Lord kind of showed me, especially probably in the beginning years, because it was just such a difficult pregnancy that I had, as well as my two-year-old was a very difficult pregnancy. They ended up being 2.5 to 3 months early, all of my children were. It was just an incredible thing to see the Lord kind of work. For me, my dreams were not really to get married and have children. My dreams were to be a missionary, to, you know, serve the Lord, not to get married. I had no real big desire to be married. But then the Lord just was like, you know, this is what I have for you, you know. And he really wanted to, you know, I think I really started to understand he just wanted to give this gift to me that I didn't even feel like I wanted. I think part of it was because of how I grew up. But I really felt like I wasn't prepared to be a mom. You know, my mom didn't really teach me to cook. She didn't really teach me to maintain a home. She was just a very withdrawn woman, and very loving, but didn't really teach me a lot, and I had to pretty much kind of beg it out of her, you know, sometimes, be like, okay, I really need to know how to do laundry, Mom, you know. And she's like, oh, it's easy, and I'm like, no, you really need to show me how to use this machine, you know, or something. And so I felt very inadequate, completely unprepared, and, you know, people would be like, well, God must have known you could have, you know, handle triplets. Well, I think he knew that I never could handle triplets and that I would have to completely rely on him, that there would be, like, no way of maintaining that. And you may feel the same way, like, even if it was, like, you know, a child that's difficult, you know, that may have a strong will, or, you know, if you grew up with maybe all girls or all boys and you didn't know what it would be like to have a daughter or like to have a son or what that might, you know, entail. But the very first thing that I really felt like the Lord showed me was that our children belong first and foremost to God, that they were created by him, that he planned for them, and that it really gave me a freedom to say, okay, I am not everything for them. I can't be everything for them, as much as I may want to be. I can't, you know, follow them around everywhere they go and, you know, be the Holy Spirit for them. I can't be God to them, but I can be their mom. I can be a really important aspect of their life. But it really gave me a freedom to say, okay, I don't have to carry this weight of I have to be everything for them. And I wanted to turn to Psalm 139, 13 through 16. It's probably a pretty familiar passage for everyone. It says that, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I really look at that verse 16 and just says, all the days ordained for me. And so those days of, you know, that he's really ordained every step, and including having how many children we would have, how they're spaced apart. You know, a couple of you have twins, and you know, he has planned each one of those days, you know, of, you know, what you would have, when you would have them, you know, and to bless us with that. And a lot of times I felt, you know, completely inadequate to, you know, handle them, and I started feeling a lot of pressure to try to meet their needs, you know, and probably the unique thing is that I knew from the very beginning they were completely different personalities. Sometimes you kind of, like, I think if you have children kind of further apart, you're like, well, they're going to be, you know, you might think the second one's going to be similar to the first one, and then you realize that, nope, they're not the same, you know, they're not going to, you know, whether they're girl, you know, you might have all girls, but they're not the same personality, they don't have the same, you know, ways they respond to things. And then some of the things that he taught me was that if you, we don't have to go there, but 1 Peter 4:8 was that love covers over a multitude of sins. And we just can know that, you know, the love that God has for us and the love that he has for our children, you know, the love that we show them and can cover over all those things that we may do wrong. You know, we're going to fail, you know, probably every day, you know, with them. But when we go to the Lord, you know, we can just know that his love will shine through us, and it will cover over some of those things that we may feel like we've just failed to do in their growing up. And that can be that God has the power to, you know, redeem that situation. Another part of that was, the second thing that I had was that God chose you to be the mother of your children. Have faith that God does not make any mistakes and that he's purposed you especially for this task. And to know that, you know, when he's ordained your days, that he has purposed for you to have the children that you have, in the relationships that you have had them in, you know, whether I've worked in a pregnancy center, and some of the situations that the ladies find themselves in. You may have married a man that was not a Christian. You may come across neighbors that are in a divorce situation, or you may be in a divorce situation yourself. But he ordained and purposed for you to have the children that you have and to really embrace that. One of the things that made me look back with this is that looking at my own mother, that we can all kind of go back and say, okay, if God chose me to be my children's mother, God chose my mother as well. And it really just kind of just impressed upon me the thing that I needed the most. And we can always look back and be, okay, well, somebody else would have been a better mother to these kids. I don't know if any of you have ever said that to yourself, oh, that person, she's so organized, if I could be organized as her, my kids would be better off, or if I could have more patience like they do, or if my kids were more like theirs, then, it would be so much easier. Or, we just come up with these things that we contemplate, and it just hinders the work that God wants to do in us to our own children. But I looked at my mom and I said, my mom was very quiet. That really gave me a peace. So I was very anxious. I still deal with some anxiety. I was very quiet, very withdrawn. And so my mom, being as quiet as she was and just being, she was just this quiet solitude that she gave to me. That if I had somebody that was just kind of like, you need to do this, and you need to be this way, and that would have really kind of, I think, hindered me even more. She was just always willing to, do what I had, do what I may have just asked, if she would take me places. I kind of felt kind of lonely because I did become a Christian kind of outside of things. My mom, I believe, was a Christian, but she really didn't go to church. But she would take me. So I became a Christian at a very young age with a friend of mine. And I just said I wanted to go to church, and I would go by myself. My mom would drop me off, and I would go in, and go to the Sunday school. And I felt very lonely because I would be like, well, everybody else has their parents there. Mine aren't here. But there were things that, the other thing that my mom really, really gave to me was her perseverance. And that was something that I really needed to have with my triplets, just to keep persevering, as the daunting days would come, and just every day would just start to kind of drone on, and I couldn't always keep track of what day was what, and, he just kept giving me that perseverance, and I learned that from my mom. So I think that we can, even if your mom, you can look at those things and be like, well, my mom wasn't this or she wasn't that. But I think that all of us can look back and say, God gave me something through my mother, that nobody else could have given me. And really taught me things that, maybe they did it the wrong way, but it taught me something to really rely on the Lord. Or, we can always find things that, because of the mom that we had, that it really kind of gives us the faith to say, okay, I'm the right mom for the children that God has given me. The third thing, and this might seem kind of funny, but God spoke to me to this immediately after my kids were born. So I had one, and then 8 days later, I had my other two. I had a regular delivery, and then I had a C-section, and I was in the hospital for about 4 weeks on complete bed rest on my head, and I was completely exhausted. I just... everything, and I'm sure you have days where you're just like, God, I am mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, I'm just completely drained and exhausted. It's just, we just have those days, and it was like right after I gave birth to my second two, it was like the Lord said, do what you know to do, because I was just like, I had nothing left to give to them, you know, right now. You know, I could barely walk a little bit. You know, I had kind of gotten where I couldn't really get around real well. And, you know, I was just like, I am so drained. I don't even know where to go from here. You know, I don't know how to give anything back to them right now. And just when he said to do what you know to do, okay, I can just take one thing. Okay, today, what are the things I know to do for my kids? What are the things that we know? And is to do good for them? You know, and the scripture that I have for that is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you are abound in every good work. And it's just, you know, just, he gives us everything that we need. So, you know, I didn't need to have a lot of energy. All I needed was to be able to touch my kids. I really wasn't taking care of them. They were in a NICU environment. I had to just be there, you know, hold them when I was allowed to, you know, snuggle with them. We would put them, like, right up against your chest, you know, and skin-to-skin contact and help them to, you know, just feel loved and know that they're cared for. And then I really wanted to provide for them. So the Lord just gave me a lot of milk, a lot of breast milk, right as soon as my second two were born. And it was an amazing thing because 8 days later, because my daughter was born so early, she wasn't allowed to have milk right away. So she was getting like the sugar water type thing. And the day that my second two were born, they were going to start her on milk. Mm-hmm. And I just really felt like they were going to need breast milk. And so she was able, the first dose that she got was breast milk. Mm-hmm. So I was able to give it to them because normally it takes several days to kind of get that to build up. Now I didn't know that because I didn't have any kids yet. But because of her already being delivered, my body had already been building it up, you know, and building it up. And so I was able to give them, you know, the breast milk right away. So there's things that, you know, we may, you know, get those days where we're exhausted, but we can still give them love and attention and, you know, hold them when they're crying, you know, even though we can't make the things go away. You know, I think, you know, when they're, you know, my kids are just getting into those teenage years and they deal with, you know, bullies on the bus sometimes, or they deal with things, and you know, we just really want to give them courage to that, you know, they are worth standing up for. And, you know, we give them those, that guidance. And I think so importantly, the home that we have for them is to give them a safe place. You know, there's things they're going to have to deal with and challenges they're going to have and people that they interact with and things that, but we can give them, even on those exhausted days, the things that they need. And that if we go back to this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:8, you know, it'll just keep encouraging us that God gives us everything we need to give them because His grace abounds in our life, even when we feel defeated. You know, so, some of the other verses, and I'm not going to go to them right now, was Romans 8:37, and it just basically says that through Him we are more than conquerors. I think that if we can just continue to remember that God is the one that gives us, you know, victory over those times when we're just feeling exhausted, when things just don't seem to be going right. Everything we're trying to make work, our kids just aren't seeming to get, you know, the things that we had hoped that they learned. I think especially if you have teenagers or adult children, and you're like, oh, I taught these things to them, and they're just not getting them. And just to really be encouraged that, you know, just keep pressing in and keep pressing in and pressing in with the Lord on those things. And then Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, there may be times where just our heart is set over the choices that our kids are making, or the friends that they're hanging out with, or, you know, just the choices that they're making. It really hurts me to see my son deal with some of the same things that I dealt with growing up. I dealt with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. I dealt with just withdrawing from people, and he just deals with that. You know, it's part of, you know, that God's going to have to break through, you know, but I can be there and pray him through because of the things that I've gone through. Because I know what it's like, and I know how the enemy tries to use those things against you, you know, to try to discourage you. And so, you know, I struggle with that, and I, you know, my heart kind of, I hate seeing him feel that way. I hate, you know, seeing him withdraw, or I hate to see that in him. You know, I'm encouraged because I know if the Lord can overcome it in me, he can overcome it in him. The fourth thing that I wrote and is to be determined to enjoy your children, no matter what their age is. You know, that if we can just be determined to just be like, I am going to enjoy them. God has given them to me. And regardless of how they're behaving, you know, that we can find joy. And I think, you know, just Alana saying, you know, oh, you know, having my mom going through Alzheimer's, and she's like a child, you know. You know, just hearing her say, you know, this is the most difficult thing. You know, it's the same thing with our children. Sometimes we're just like, this is the most difficult thing. Of course, my daughter this week decided she was going to have complete tantrums and she was going down for her nap. Mm-hmm. So I was like not getting any time to kind of just like, just spend time with the Lord, just, you know, lay her down. She usually takes a 2.5-3 hour nap for me. She was just screaming at the top of her lungs, I just want mommy, I just want mommy. You know, and it was just like, you know, can we enjoy our kids in the midst of that? You know, even though I'm frustrated with you, you're not doing what I asked you to do, you're not, you know, just kind of have a sense of humor about it and kind of laugh over some of the things that they do. You know, some of the things that are just like, you know, I think it just reminds me of how I can be with God sometimes, you know. It just makes me laugh because I'm just like having a complete tantrum because you're not really doing things the way I want you to do them, God, right now. You know, but some of the verses that I really was led to with this is Psalm 127, 3 through 5. So if we can go there. I have most of these marked, but since I have so many scriptures, it's really hard for me to find anything right now. Yep. I think this is the one that I said, oh, I'll be able to find it because it's so close to the other one that I was reading. So, okay. Just talked about, I'm sure you've heard these as well. Sons are heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And I just look at that. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. We've been talking some about that inheritance, you know, that if we can see our children as, you know, a heritage, something that, and a reward, you know, and sometimes they don't feel like a reward. You know, sometimes they just feel like, you know, they're just so difficult, you know, they're just not listening to me, they're not doing what I asked them to do, they're not getting what I'm trying to get across to them. They're taking a long time. But if we can see that in them. And then the two scriptures, Matthew, we're not going to go to this one. Matthew 19, 14 through 15, and it just talks about how Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. And he wanted to lay hands on them. You know, that's how Jesus treats little children. You know, he was like, they're the ones that are going to inherit. We have to come as little children. And it just reminds us, you know, how... especially when our children are young, how do they respond? You know, if we can look at how they respond to things, they're just very willing to come. They're very willing, usually, to forgive, you know, a big mistake that we've made. You know, you know, if you go to them and you're just like, you know, they just are much more open in receiving us. But that's how, you know, and God treats us. And then the other one is Zephaniah 3:17. And, I really love this verse, and don't feel like you have to find that one, but it's 3:17, and it says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So those are the things that God does for us, and those are the same things that if He treats us that way, that's how He wants us to treat our children. You know, He wants to, you know, really, you know, us to dance over them. You know, just oh, they're such wonderful beings that God has given us. You know, I mean, it's amazing how He makes them so different and their personalities and the, and you know, when they become Christians, you know, and you start to see oh, the giftings that God is giving in them and it, you know, but just that knowing that God has a plan for them, that He's, you know, ordained their days as well as He's ordained our days, you know, regardless of what choices they're making now, that we can just, you know, rejoice over the gift that they are to us, and that we can be there for them. Number five was to train them up in the way they should go. So I'm sure everybody's heard that one. There's like, I don't think you can go to a parenting seminar and not hear, you know, at least a Christian parenting seminar. Proverbs 22:6. And so I really wanted to emphasize that the way they should go. And so I'm just going to kind of, it just said that I found right from the beginning that each one of my children was unique. My one daughter, she would just watch me in awe when I would sing to her. It was just, you know, it was amazing to have all three of them at the same time. I go to one, I'd sing to her, and she would just be like, oh. You know, her response to singing was just amazing, you know. And my son, probably wasn't the very earliest thing, but very, very young. He was very young, and he was such a contemplator. I mean, he thinks through everything. You ask him, how's your day been? You know, most people, how did that, you know. He's just like, And he just has to think about it. And then he would give you a very thoughtful answer. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, and I'm looking at him now, and I'm just like, I look at, I actually went through a little thing with him. He wanted to kind of know about spiritual gifts. So I said, well, you know, let me read some of these things and see. I said, there's like these little things that you can read and kind of be like, oh, well, this is kind of looks like your spiritual gift, or this looks like what your gifting might be. And he like fit almost everything as being a teacher. You know, I was just like, you have just, you know, I said, you like to study. I mean, you will look at every little detail of things. And he's like, teacher? He's like, no way, you know, because he's like, I'm too scared to be in front of people. I said, there's a man in our church, and I said, you know, he's got a teaching gift, and he doesn't get up in front of you know, groups of people or anything. I said, you know, but he contemplates what God has for him, and he will just go to one person, you know, and just show them what God is kind of teaching him for that person. I said, so it doesn't have to be something like that. You know, I just want to kind of build his faith that, you know, nothing. God is not expecting you to like all of a sudden be able to do something. He's going to keep working on you. And but it's such a neat thing to kind of look at your kids and be like, really study your kids. If you've never done that, to really just like, oh, you know, just neat things about them. You know, how different they are from us. You know, I would say that my other daughter is probably the most different from Jeff and I. But she just has a sweet spirit about her, you know, right from the very beginning. It was just like, she's just very easygoing, just, you know, but she's also a very determined person. She's just, you know, whatever I need to do, I'm going to do it, you know. She had some low tone in her muscles. Actually, I have occupational therapy training, so God kind of did all this thing, and if you don't know anything about occupational therapy, we really look at the whole person, and you kind of look at, and you go from infancy all the way to elderly. So you kind of really look at the rounded person and what are their motivations, what are the things that they need, what are, you know, how can you adapt things so that they can do better. Well, she had some low tone, which means that she really couldn't, like, hold her head up. She didn't have the muscle tone to, like, hold her head up. And they would be like, well, you know, I had a lot of things I had to do with her as far as just taking her and having them all tested and make sure, you know, their development was going well and things like that. So I found that they were like, well, she can't roll over, you know, because she, and I said, well, yes, she can. I said, she can't do it the way you want her to. I said, because you expect her to kind of just kind of slowly roll over and the body just kind of slowly twist the way it's supposed to. That's kind of the way you're supposed to roll, you know. I said, but she will just rock herself and rock and rock and rock until she gets herself over. I said, so she can roll herself over. But there's just really neat things that we, if we really study our kids, you know, you just find things to really delight yourself in over them. You know, things that are so different from you, or they may be so much like you, you know, and then sometimes you're like, why are they like me? I really don't want them to be like me in those things. But another thing, like with my son, pretty early on, he loves gifts. I mean, if I have him make a Christmas gift list, it's like, you know, 10 pages, you know, he will come up with all these things he wants, you know, and but he, it's really a neat thing, you know, he always remembers what people give him. He, you know, after years later, you know, he'll be like, and then he doesn't want to give things up because he'll just be like, well, this person gave this to me and it doesn't fit me anymore, but I really want to keep it, you know, because it's precious to him. You know, gifts are, you know, what his love language is, you know. It's those, you know, things that make him feel, but it's also a weakness for him because he gets really upset when, like, his sisters, we give this one birthday party and we said, well, this year we're going to do Leah's first and we'll do the other two a week later. We normally do their birthday parties together. He just cried his eyes out that his sister was getting birthday gifts and he wasn't that day, even though he was going to get them 8 days later. You know, because he was just, it was a weakness in him to also just be feeling kind of left out if he didn't get a gift or feel unloved or, and I had to watch him. Every once in a while he would take something at a store because he really wanted it and he coveted it. You know, it was, you know, and he didn't mean to, he was just little. But he would just take that with him, and I'd be like, no, we got to go back, and we need to apologize, and we need to give that back, because it's not right. You can't just take that thing. You know, so it, when we study our kids, you know, there's lots of joy things, and there's lots of weaknesses we can see, and then we can pray over them and give them verses. The Lord really led me, and I don't necessarily recommend this. I'm not, you know, I would say really, you know, let the Lord kind of lead you in this, but there was a summer that I just felt like, you know, we're going to all learn like 10 verses all at once, you know. We're going to pick some, you know, scripture. I said, Mommy's going to learn them, you know, pick something that really means something to me. And my son did a thing from Joshua, and it was on courage, you know, not having fear. And it just was a huge thing that just kind of, I think, will continue to stay with him. And my other daughter, like my one on wisdom, because she's kind of so sweet and kind of, I think she's a little too naive about things. And it's great that but you need to be wise. And so there was scripture that we did on just having wisdom, you know, and what wisdom is and kind of finding it from God. And my other daughter, I think she just has a boldness about her. So she'll just talk to her friends about Christ. But I think she gets kind of, well, if they don't respond or if they're very different from her, she kind of feels left out. So she doesn't, she's still kind of dealing with that, I guess, just that being different is okay, and it's okay if somebody wants something different or likes something different than she does, and you can still be, you know, friends, and you can still, you know, respect the other person and still have a good friendship. But we kind of just went over scriptures that were dealing with, you know, God was in the beginning, and He was the Word, and He was the Word, and just kind of really kind of getting the concept of who God is. I mean, it's harder for, you know, for kids sometimes to, you know, I think for us too, you know, God is, you know, flesh, and He was at the beginning. He was from the very beginning, you know, but then He was, you know, they even say that every once in a while. Okay, Jesus was born, but He was at the beginning. And I'm like, yeah, He was at the beginning in spirit. He just wasn't born physically, you know. And so there's the things that we just kind of learn when we go through scriptures and go through things with our kids. And it just really, like, helps us, I think, to pray over them, to really just, okay, what is God laying on my heart to pray over them, whether they're, you know, 2 years old or they're 50 years old. You know, what is it that we can just pray for our kids and just kind of really direct our prayers towards them in that. The sixth thing was that ask God for help and wisdom. And I went to Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. Yeah, so this one talks about wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I think that we just need to know that we can call out to God for wisdom. You know, when we don't understand what our kids are doing, why they're making the choices they're making, you know, what their behavior is about. You know, it doesn't matter if they're really little or if they're older. You know, sometimes we just don't understand, you know, what is motivating our child? You know, what is, you know, what can I do to help change their decision making? What can we do to help, you know, bring them back closer to the Lord? What can we do to, you know, foster a love in their heart for God? And, you know, if we call out to him, you know, he'll start to give us the scriptures and the things to really, you know, do and to say. Or, you know, sometimes it's just praying that the Lord will lay on their heart, you know, lay other people in their lives. If they're not responding to us, you know, and I'll get to that a little bit later, actually, that other people will come and surround them, that other people will, you know, be an encouragement to them, that maybe they won't respond to me right now. But to just, as a mother, we can, you know, we care enough about them to really, really press into those areas of their lives. Just a really simple thing, you know, sometimes we just need help. You know, I'm like, God, I need your help right now. You know, it's just like, I'll tell you a really simple thing that happened with my one daughter. This is kind of before I kind of understood a little bit of her motivation. They're probably like 3 years old, 2.5 maybe. We had just moved out to Frederick. I didn't really have, we moved to a house that's in the middle of kind of nowhere. We didn't know anybody that lives in the area. So, and I'm taking care of 3 2.5-year-olds. My husband drives 1.5 hours away, 1.5 hours back, so he's hardly home. And I would just be like, okay, I'm doing stuff, trying to juggle things. And, well, I think it was groceries or something. I came to the door. Two of them went in the house, and I couldn't follow them because the other one stayed outside the house. And I was just like, okay, God, how am I going to get this one to go in the house? Because they won't go. You know, they're just kind of standing here. And he just was like, ask her to help. And I went, okay, Leah, could you really help me? You'll really help me if you'll go into the house for me. And she just went, boom, walked right in the house. You know, God knows their motivation. He knows what inspires them. He knows how he's made them. And sometimes it's that quick of a response that God will just give us. And we're just like, I was so desperate. You know, I just felt like it was just an impossibility, you know, of me getting her in without trying to. It sounds stupid. I probably could have just put my groceries down and just kind of dragged her in. But it was just something that at that moment I just felt like, what am I going to do? You know, they're in there and I have no idea what they're doing in the house. And she's out here, and I can't just leave her out here. There's a busy road right there. And you know, sometimes he just, you know, we're so desperate, and we just say, help us, you know, and he'll just immediately give us a response, you know, for our kids. The other scriptures that I had was Proverbs 22:6. I believe, let's see. Oh, that was, we already talked about that, training them up in the way they should go. So, actually, let's see. 1 Corinthians 2:5. And this is, if you kind of go back to 4, I guess he's saying, you know, Paul was saying, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. I think sometimes that's what we try to do. We try to, you know, we think if we talk through with our kids things, whether they're adults, you know, sometimes they're, you know, we're like, if I can persuade them, if I can talk wisdom to them, they're going to respond, you know. And he's like, you know, I didn't come with persuasive words or wise words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in men's wisdom, but in God's power. And so if we can always rest on God's power to work. I think it like gives us that kind of resting that, okay, God has the power to work whatever I can't persuade in them and to make happen and happen in our own timing. But God has the power in His timing, and trusting that timing, I think, to work it out. There's a experience that a friend at my church, their daughter is separated from her husband right now, and I know it was, you know, just really painful, you know, it's to like watch that, you know, to see that, you know, happening, and you can't seem to get through, you know, to them, and then to just keep, you know, putting it before the Lord. And there's definitely been some breakthrough that she's talking with somebody, and some things that may have been underneath all of that that she just wasn't able to kind of deal with, and it, she just brought it into the marriage, and things that probably both of them needed to work through, kind of in a separate way. But, you know, it's been, you know, kind of like this back and forth thing. You know, they were together, and then things weren't going well, and then they finally separated, and you're like, okay, you know, God's working, and He's bringing a timing, and knowing that, I think if God has His purpose for them, there are things that they're going to go through that we don't want them to have to go through. You know, that we're just desperate for them not to have to go through. But in them going through that, that God's going to use that to bring, you know, we've been talking about rescuing others. You know, that as much as we don't want our children to go through certain things, that the things that they go through, we would have never wanted them to go through, that they, God has a purpose for them to use that then to rescue others, you know, through that. And it's so painful for us, but as, you know, as mothers, you know, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, what Mary went through having Jesus, and then her firstborn, you know, and all the promise, I'm sure, that she must have had in her heart for, you know, the Savior of the world, you know, but not probably understanding that He was going to have to give His life, and in such a cruel way. So we don't always understand the things that our children have to go through to kind of make it, you know, through. But that we rest on God's promises and His power to overcome any of those situations. And then I think I kind of missed this, but Deuteronomy 6:7. This actually goes back to the training, and I just wanted to kind of mention it because it talks about training them up in the commandments, basically, and, you know, and it talks about just loving the Lord your God with all your heart. So if we love our Lord with all of our heart and all of our being, and then train them in the laws that God has put down forth, those are the most important things. Go back to the Ten Commandments and say, okay, now I can't, like, He doesn't want us to present it as a law, like, okay, well, you have to do this, you have to do this, and be this, and not be this, and not this way. But these are the things that God wants to bring about in their hearts. You know, to not covet things. You know, my son who loves gifts, you know, not to covet things. So these are things that I want to pray over and to really, you know, how can I help train them? How can I teach that to them in everyday life? And that's what Deuteronomy talks about, just kind of in everything, in their waking up and in their laying down. And every time we have an opportunity, you know, not preach it to them, not try to, you know, beat them over the head with it, but, oh, you know, God's wonderful, you know, and that He's done this. And, you know, if we just put God first, you know, instead of this, you know, how He wants to bring blessing, you know, and it's just kind of in a life-giving way, He wants us to keep reminding our children of those things. For the help and the wisdom, Judges 13:8, I think it's a wonderful prayer that these parents had for their son. And this was the parents of Samson. And I think sometimes we would love if God would do this for us as well. But it was Judges 13:8, and it says, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.' And God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was out with her, not with her. And then the woman hurried to tell her husband, and he's here, the man who appeared, you know, and he came to teach. And, you know, we know that God's Spirit is in us. And so if we cry out to Him, you know, teach me, show me what to do for, you know, our son or our daughter, you know, that He will do that for us. Seven was just a really important thing. It's just constantly something that I have to kind of go back to, and it's like, don't waste time and emotions condemning and worrying over the things you haven't done well. You know, we have never been called to look back and say, what didn't I do? You know, oh, if I had only done this, or if I had only done that, then things would be different, you know. Or if I had only been the person I am today 5 years ago, you know, my kids would be so different. You know, God has a purpose in our own growth to grow with our kids, and I think that's something that I've definitely seen in the last 12 years, that it's like, it's okay for them to see my failures, because as God overcomes certain things in my life, then, you know, it's going to increase their faith that, you know, if he can overcome those things in me, and they see, start to see a change in me, that that God will and do that for them as well. So we don't have to keep going back, and there's just so many verses. Romans 8:1 and just talks about, you know, there's no condemnation in Jesus, you know. And it just talks about the love of Christ, and the law is no longer what we, you know, look to, you know, what Christ has given to us. Proverbs 2:7 says that he holds victory in store for the upright. This is probably, and then Philippians 4:4-7, it just talks about not being anxious for anything, but with prayer and petition. And believe me, I deal with anxiety, so it's like, okay, you know, I start feeling stressed, you know, something kind of comes up, and I'm just like, okay, you know, it might take me several hours or a day to kind of like, oh, okay, I don't have to, like, get this all, but we can keep pressing in and say, okay, I can give this to the Lord and not keep, and I would be like, you know, I'm not really that, I don't get really anxious, you know, about certain things, you know, I'm like, I really trust the Lord in certain things, and then I'll be like, it'll just be like kind of this more overwhelming, and he led me to the right word for me, because I was kind of like, well, I'm not really, I couldn't name something I was being anxious about, I was just, and it was fretting. I was just kind of carrying this thing of things aren't happening fast enough, you know, things aren't changing fast enough, you know, I'm not, you know, God's not breaking through things even in me the way I want them to, you know, and I would just start fretting over this, like, you know, this kind of frustration in myself and over things not changing and over the circumstances taking so long, or it's just how we can, and just how he was really saying, you know, I need to let it go, you know, and just be like, oh, just today, what does God have today? What does he want to do today? And this goes, and I do want to go to this one, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Actually, my pastor's wife, every time she sends an email out, she sends this out right now with at the bottom of her. So it's 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it just says that, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. If we can just always get back to, you know, his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. That his grace on me and on my children will just, I think it just will continue to increase our faith in him and in what he's doing for our kids. The last thing is 1 Corinthians 12:7. The last thing was that I had was to bring others into your children's lives to encourage and bless them. And this is actually talking about spiritual gifts, but it goes down and it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And I really just felt like it fit with, you know, bringing others into it, because we're one body, and we all have different giftings. Probably an easy thing for me to kind of give a physical example is my daughter likes guitar, and I know her well enough that if I kind of, not that we really wanted to pay for guitar lessons for her right now, I just knew she wouldn't respond. I knew if I kind of put her on a diligent, you know, every week, you know, you're going to be, she would have rebelled against it, although I know she loves music, and she really wants to learn the guitar. So I bought her the guitar, and for years it sat in her room, and she just looked at it, and she would carry it around, and she'd look at it, and it was just kind of inspiring her. It was just kind of like, oh, you know, this is my guitar, you know, and she was just like, it's my pink guitar. She loves pink, so it's pink, you know, and she's just like, but then it's kind of like, but I don't really know how to play it, you know, and so I started bringing, you know, there was a guy at our, she was going to Pioneer Club, just kind of a Bible club type thing, and I said, well, why don't you ask Elvin if he'll show you some chords? So he started showing her, and you know, somebody who's passionate about the guitar and passionate about worship, and I just kind of brought him along into her life to kind of inspire her and to see, you know, what she could do with it, and you know, kind of work with her, and then you know, our worship leader also sometimes he, you know, she was bringing it in, and some of the kids were kind of standing around. And he was like getting her guitar all in tune and stuff. Since I can't hear it, I can sing, but I can't hear the different sound to tune the chord thing. So my husband has to do that sometimes. But I knew somebody that plays the guitar can really tune it the way it's supposed to be. But we can really bring, you know, people in our kids' lives to really kind of be an inspiration to them and be things that we may not be as suited for. And it really just helps me at least to realize that I don't have to be everything for them. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's other people that I can kind of help bring along in their lives. And, you know, the Lord really led us for us to send our kids to public school. And, you know, I mean, there's friends that some of them have made that they would have never made if I hadn't done it. There's teachers that they've had, you know, that, you know, love science, and they love science, and, you know, they just had exposure that I would have just been like, okay, I really don't want that mess in my house right now. You know, it's too much to kind of deal with. You know, there were certain things that I knew that I would have just been like, ugh, why do I have to do this? But some of the teachers or some of the people that they, you know, have had, and there's been other ones that weren't so great, you know, and that's okay. You know, they learn to kind of press in with the Lord. And, you know, for them, that's what they, you know, I knew the Lord wanted to kind of push Alex out of his comfort zone. I think he would have ended up being very withdrawn if I had kept him home and kept him in an environment that he would have always felt completely safe in. I think he really needed that. And he's made two wonderful friends that are kind of quiet and kind of, you know, that I could have never imagined that he would have made, you know, I kept thinking, you know, the boys are going to be, you know, rambunctious, and they're going to be, you know, and there were, you know, they found each other, you know, they're the ABC boys, because mm-hmm. it's Alex and Brian and Calvin, mm-hmm. you know, they found each other, you know, and there's just things that they get inspired by and have that exposure to, and really kind of, you know, we can just be so grateful for, you know, that we don't have to try to be all the things that, you know, all the avenues of their life and all the things that they have, but we can just be that really important part of it.